Welcome to East Texas News Roundup for the week ending May the 3rd, 2019. East Texas News Roundup is a weekly review of the news in five Southeast Texas counties covered by Polk County Publishing Company newspapers, including Tyler, Polk, Trinity, San Jacinto, and Houston counties by the editors of those five newspapers. Polk County Publishing Company manager Kelly Barnes kicks off this week's podcast.
Hello, my name is Kelly Barnes, and I'm with the Polk County Enterprise. And for me, it's morning. I'm enjoying a cup of coffee. I have a couple of newspapers here beside me, and I'd like to talk to you about what's going on in Polk County. In the Sunday paper, April 28, we find out that the Royal Brigade Band for Livingston High School wins UIL sweepstakes honors. So congratulations to Livingston High School. This is the first time that they've won the sweepstakes award since 2002, and that's super exciting for them. And you can read all about it on the front page of April 28 issue. If you missed that paper, they're still for sale at the Polk County Enterprise located at 100 Calhoun Street in downtown Livingston. Also on page one of Sunday's paper, you see that Livingston remains the top retirement destination. And in Texas, Livingston ranks fifth as one of the best retirement places. And I thought it would be interesting for you to hear that Katy, Granbury, Fredericksburg, and Woodway are the four above Livingston, and then Livingston is next on the list. So we already knew Livingston was a special place to live, but there's people that on purpose are making their retirement plans to Livingston, Texas, and I'm not surprised. The local VFW opened a new post home, and we have a story by one of our Stringer writers, Gary Ashmore. It's the Veterans of Foreign Wars Post 8568. They hosted the grand opening ceremonies on April 19th. Their new location is 4951 U.S. Highway 190 West in Livingston. So congratulations to them, and thank you, Gary Ashmore, for that coverage. On Alaska ISD named a new junior high principal. She's junior high and high school principal. Her name is Robin Thornton, and she's replacing Anthony Roberts, who's taking the role of superintendent starting June 1st. So they have a big change. The junior high school principal is moving to superintendent, and now Robin Thornton will be representing as the junior high school principal. What a great honor. So congratulations to both of them for their advancement at Onalaska ISD. In sports, Brian Besh let us know on Sunday that the Lady Lions advanced to the area round, so you can see that coverage in the paper. And I also noticed there was one more thing I wanted to tell you about. Oh, yes, Corrigan Camden and Onalaska both played games. Looks like Corrigan Camden fell to Orangefield 6-3 in Jasper on Thursday of last week. And then Casey Overland and the Big Sadie Lady Cats advance after defeating Brooklyn 10-2 in Zavala Thursday. They will play a three-game series with Love Lady in area. I would just imagine that in Thursday's paper that Brian let us know what was next. For those of you that are sports fanatics, you like keeping up with high school sports, you should be getting the Polk County Enterprise, because you won't find a better sports coverage person. Brian is dedicated. He has the education and the experience, and he's following these kids at all the school districts in Polk County, and he's going to let you know what's going on. I noticed in the paper that's coming out this week, Thursday's paper, that he has a complete listing of the UIL state track and field qualifiers. So I'm noticing here that we have Isaiah, Marissa, Terrell, and Devon. Those are from Corrigan, Camden, Goodrich, and Leggett school districts are actually pictured on this list. And then you can go through and you can see all the way from 1A girls 32 meter run all the way down to the 1600 meter run, pole vaulting, all the dashes. It's all listed, long jump, and who's going to be qualifiers. So that's exciting. There's a tragic story here by Valerie Riddell. There's two dead after a fiery crash, and it was a Chevrolet Equinox SUV was struck from behind by a Dodge pickup driven by James Munson of Livingston. It spun the Equinox around into a passing Ford Edge SUV, And this is according to Brandon Brewer with the police department. And one driver was taken to the hospital for evaluation and treatment. But it looks like, let's see if she tells us who. Two people were killed. And the driver of the pickup was identified as Alton Kimes, age 40, of Livingston. And he was pronounced dead at the scene. There was a passenger in the vehicle. Naomi Moody, age 40, of Livingston, was taken to the hospital and then transferred by helicopter. And then the driver of the Cadillac was pronounced dead at the scene as well. So that was your second person. And they're still working on the identity of that driver as of this podcast and the paper that's coming out today. So prayers for those families. Looks like we're having a Come Clean Lake Livingston Day on May 11th, so mark your calendars now, Saturday, May 11th. It's a lake-wide cleanup in the morning, and they're asking for teams of volunteers to come and help clean up designated areas. The KOA at Lake Livingston at 11 a.m. is going to provide lunch and prizes and have programs just to show their appreciation to all the people that come out that morning. So if you want to be a part of that, be sure and come out. We heard from Texas A&M Forestry Service that there has been an uptick in timber theft, particularly in Polk County. So those landowners out there, you be aware that there is an increase in timber theft. I'm not sure why. I've been involved in a few cases like this, and a lot of times the loggers will say that, you know, they were ignorant of the lines. And so it's on you, landowners, to make sure when you have people cutting timber that you show them the boundaries and someone's out there to pay attention to what's going on, because you don't want to be taken advantage of. So that story's in there if you want to find more details about that. Polk County Crime Stoppers is actually right now looking for information about gas theft. It says the Polk County Sheriff's Office is requesting help from the public to obtain information about a theft that occurred recently. It was Sunday, April 28th, overnight. It was an unknown white male driving a white single cab Chevrolet pickup who stole gasoline from Goodrich Independent School District. Not good. So if you have any information on this, call Crime Stoppers. The number is 936-327-STOP. That's easy enough. 936-327-STOP. Tips that you leave that lead to an arrest could result in a cash reward. So it'll be worth it to make the phone call, and it is anonymous on the tip line. So there's a lot going on in Polk County. We're still watching Lacey K. Booth, and on May the 12th, we'll find out if Lacey K. Booth makes it into the top three and gets to have a hometown visit. If she does, she will be coming to Livingston that week of the 13th to the 17th. So keep your eyes and ears open. Watch the paper. We'll keep you updated on what's going on. That weekend of the 17th, the Polk County Enterprise is producing a special section in honor of Lacey K. Booth and her advancement on American Idol. And we'll have some history about her and beautiful photos. And a lot of businesses in the area are going to be letting her know just how much we appreciate her hard work and how she has put Livingston on the map and made Livingston area look good. So be watching for that, win or lose. And at this point, anybody in the top 20 are winners. This has been a great year on American Idol, and we'll be following her career regardless of what happens. But be watching for that section that will come out the weekend that they announce who actually wins the top honor of American Idol. So that's what I'll end with today, and thank you so much for listening.
Hello, East Texas. Megan Whitworth here with the latest news in Houston County. What a week, y'all. So let's dive right in. First of all, the Crockett Police Department is looking for more information in regard to an alleged large fight that occurred this past weekend at IT Williams Park in Crockett. It's a local city park. Crockett Police Chief Clayton Smith stated in a release that last Sunday evening, officers with DPS, Highway Patrol, Houston County Sheriff's Office, and Crockett Police Department responded to the fight after getting dispatched out there. But by the time they got there, the crowd had begun to disperse. So Smith said that they have obtained Facebook videos that were recorded during the incident. Officers are currently working to identify those individuals involved, and he did say that criminal charges will follow. It was reported that there were multiple children in the park during the incident and were caught in the middle of the fight, which is never a good thing. We need to protect those babies. So the chief has asked that if there's anyone that witnessed or was involved in the incident, incident to contact the Crockett Police Department to share their side of the story. That phone number is 936-544-2021. So definitely, if you were there or if you witnessed something, contact the Crockett Police Department to help get this case solved and moving forward. So once again, that number is 936-544-2021 to Crockett Police Department. In education news, Crockett ISD is considering calling a tax rollback election. The election could result in a $250,000 increase in state funding to the district. The special kind of election would allow registered citizens to vote to allow the officials to make adjustments in the district's tax rate formulas that would bring an increased state funding to the district without raising the district's current property tax rate. So Superintendent Terry Myers, during the last meeting that occurred on Monday, suggested that the trustees consider holding the tax rollback election that, if successful, would give them the authority to restructure the district's tax rate formula so that more of the current $1.25 per 100 of tax value is taken from the interest and sinking part of the tax rate and put it in the maintenance and operations part of the rate. So the CISD trustees did vote to pass the motion to consider Meyer's suggestion to order the election in June. So we will definitely keep readers up to date with the ongoings with that election and to see what the next step will be for the school district. So on to the next thing, more election news. It is election season and this season is about to wrap up. And for Houston County, this is a very hot election. A lot of debate. There's a lot of political ads, just going back and forth. Social media is blowing up. And just questions that will be soon answered are, will Crockett get a new mayor? Will citizens vote to terminate the Economic Development Corporation in Crockett? And who will be elected to the Houston County Hospital District, among other items that local residents will be voting on? And like I said, there will be answers coming very soon because early voting closed Tuesday, and this Saturday, May 4th, it's election day. On election day, all polling places in the county will be open from 7 a.m. until 7 p.m. We listed the poll places in the latest edition of the Courier, and we will make sure to share them on social media this week at HC Courier. So definitely, just with one more day to get your opinion out, definitely read the news stories in the latest few editions of the Courier to get updated on who your candidates are and for what for and just who they are and what they believe in and why they're running. So it's just important to get out there and vote and share your opinion. So in the business world in Houston County, onshore outsourcing, the new IT company that has made its way to Crockett opened their doors for a career drive that began last Saturday and ran till Tuesday. I went up there Monday afternoon to chat with Brian Herman. He is the Director of Workforce Development for Onshore. And up to that point on Monday, they had a few dozen come talk to them and check out the IT company. And the people that were able to attend did testing just to check their motivation, their personality, customer service skills, and the such to see where they would be a good fit for onshore. And right now, the company is just first seeking to bring on 15 people for a 9-week onshore academy course to learn about software developing. Herman said it's a boot camp style training for individuals. At the end of the 9 weeks, then onshore has the opportunity to bring you on full time with the company. And the boot camp is a free education for those that would be interested in coming to onshore and to learn more about the IT company and to work for them. Sitting with Brian, this is a great opportunity for like students or for those who are interested in joining the IT workforce to get the training and to start with a company that can help you build the foundations for a career in the IT world. So they will be visiting with local high schools in the next few weeks to showcase their company and to showcase the opportunities available. If you're not interested in software developing, Brian said that more careers will be coming in the next 6 to 12 months. Other opportunities include customer service, help desk, quality assurance, and much more opportunities. So stay tuned with Onshore and to see what's coming up. And if you weren't able to attend the career drive, Brian said to look on Indeed.com for job postings, visit the Onshore office in Crockett, or contact local onshore recruiter Rhonda Music at 936-204-9487. Their office location is the former Angelina College campus in Crockett. That address is 1505 South 4th Street in Crockett. So we are always excited about new job openings in Crockett and new businesses coming here. So make sure to check it out if you're looking for a new career in the IT world. So in other news, it was just released that the National Weather Service will present on how to identify severe thunderstorms and tornadoes and how to relay reports to the Weather Service during a presentation on May 23rd from 6 to 8:30 p.m. at the Crockett Civic Center. So Skywarn spotter reports are critical for accurate warnings. The Weather Service will review recent local tornado events and talk about weather and tornado safety at the event. The training is free and open to the public. For more information, contact Roger Dickey. He is the Houston County Emergency Manager, and his contact number is 936-544-7175. There's also a story in the latest edition of The Courier about a man and his family that first witnessed firsthand when the tornado struck Cattle Mounds historic site. So it was crazy, and that story was just very emotional to write and to hear and read his experience with the tornado. And I encourage the residents to attend this event so that they can learn more about thunderstorms and tornadoes, and especially here in East Texas where it's not uncommon to witness a tornado and the damage that can occur. So definitely mark that on your calendars. I do believe it's a Thursday, and just once again, it's May 23rd from 6 to 8:30 p.m. at the Crockett Civic Center. So as always, listeners and readers and followers of the Houston County Courier, there is a lot happening in Houston County, and especially with the election on Saturday. You will want to make sure to pay attention to our Facebook at HC Courier for the latest. And especially on Saturday, we will be posting results for some of the biggest items on that people will be voting on. So you will definitely want to keep watch Saturday night on our Facebook page, and definitely pick up a paper for the latest on sports and just more news stories and more reports on local school items. And those are on newsstands now, so definitely pick that up. And just make sure to watch our Facebook. Once again, it's at HC Courier, and our website at hccourier.com. Folks, till next time, I hope you survive the election season, and it's supposed to rain, so stay indoors and be safe while you're driving and while you're out there, and I'll just talk to y'all next time. Bye!
Well, hello everyone. This is Jacob McAdams, the editor of the San Jacinto News-Times, and I'm here bringing you all the news that we're going to have coming up in our May 2nd edition of the newspaper. So first things first, I'm going to talk about softball because we had our first round of playoffs for the Cold Spring Oakhurst Lady Trojans. Now, for those of you who are not aware of our other team, which of course is the Shepherd Lady Pirates, they unfortunately did not qualify for the playoffs, so we didn't get to see them play. But hopefully we'll get to see them play next year. But for our Lady Trojans, we had a warm-up game on April 23rd, that Tuesday, which pit them against the Groveton Lady Indians. And Groveton got a pretty early lead on them. It was a 5-1 lead, and then Lady Trojans, they inched forward and got another run, so it was 5-2. But the sixth inning was crazy because they scored 11 runs. And so they were ahead 13-5, and that was the bottom of the sixth. And so at the top of the seventh, Groveton had to score a good 8 runs just to tie the game. And they scored 2, but unfortunately they were shut down by the Lady Trojans. So that didn't go too well for them. But it's okay. It was meant to be a warm-up game, so I mean, they weren't really, it doesn't really count as far as the playoffs are concerned. But, and last I checked, the Groveton Lady Indians are still in the playoffs. Unfortunately, the Lady Trojans are not. They played against East Bernard on Thursday, April 25th, and Friday, April 26th. And East Bernard won both games. First game, they won 8-6, so it was a pretty close game there. The second game, they won 7-3. But regardless, you know, let's give a big hand to the Lady Trojans. They did really well this year, and hopefully we'll get to see them push ahead further next year. The Trojan baseball team is actually still in the running, but we'll get more information on that in the future. Now, as far as news is concerned, outside of sports, that is, we actually had quite a bit going on this last week. And I actually am going to be saving a couple of those items for our upcoming paper on May 9th, because virtually everyone and their brother had an event going on last week. But the other thing is, too, we had two items that proved to be pretty massive when we put them in the paper. And I'll discuss them here in just a minute. The first one is the Cold Spring San Jacinto County Chamber of Commerce. They had their quarterly luncheon, and they hosted Crystal William, who is the director of marketing for a business called McWilliams & Son Heating and Air Conditioning. But yeah, and the naming convention is a little odd because it's her last name is William, and she works for McWilliams. And I think from what I remember, as she described it, that actually goes further than that in terms of a very confusing naming convention. But I won't get into that, but it was kind of funny the way she described it. But she discussed with the chamber basically how your business can get more bang for its buck by getting involved in the community. And she used a acronym, which was appropriately BANG. And the idea is that you want to be involved in your community in order to really maximize your profits. You want to make your business known. You want to determine what causes do you want to support, what nonprofit organizations do you believe in. For instance, she said there's plenty of good causes out there, but you only have so much you can give to these good causes, because eventually you can't give to every good thing. You'll eventually run out of money and run into the red, so to speak. But for instance, she said, you know, you want to find a cause that you're passionate about. So for her, for William, she had mentioned that her grandmother had passed away, and she, from what I understood, she died from Alzheimer's. So Alzheimer's disease and Alzheimer's awareness is something William is very passionate about. It hits very close to home for her. So that was where it's like, okay, so that's an easy one she can pick because it affects her personally. It's something she wants to spread awareness about. And so they did things like they wrapped their work trucks with decals, essentially, something along those lines that promoted Alzheimer's awareness. I think it was like they wrapped them in purple or something like that. I do apologize. I don't know much about Alzheimer's awareness, but simply put, they decorated a couple of their vehicles to promote that. They speak at luncheons. They participate in other events for Alzheimer's awareness. And the list goes on. There are plenty of things that you can do to really just show support for the community. The idea is you want people to know who you are, because you could be the best bank that someone could do their banking with. You could be the best restaurant in the entire world, but people won't get to know you unless you get involved in the community that you're a part of. And that's kind of the idea that William is expressing. You know, you want to be able to show that you're here, you know, show who the person is behind the business, so to speak, and show that you do care about your community. You do care to get involved. You do care to make, you know, to do volunteer efforts. You do care to show a little love. And when you start showing who you are and what you do, it's a good reflection on yourself, but also it shows people that they might be more inclined to do business with you. Now, we had a couple other events that were pretty important. One of them is thankfully not one of the more massive events. First one, of course, was the chamber. That one turned out to be pretty massive, writing that one up. But one of the ones that was less massive to write, thankfully, the local Cold Spring Area Art League, they actually just had their judged art show. So if you're not familiar with Cold Spring's Art League, Cold Spring has a pretty active art league. Now, they're down a couple of members due to a number of reasons. A couple of them are dealing with personal issues that keep them from being as involved, unfortunately. But they're still a really active art league, and they submitted 31 works of art into the Cold Spring Area Art League, and 20 of them received ribbons. And for the ones that receive ribbons, the really cool thing about them is they're actually going to be able to go on to another judged art show that's done by the Lone Star Art Guild. And so this judge show, it's going to be held in Conroe at the Lone Star Convention Center, and it's going to be either May 31st or June 1st, somewhere around that range. So it'll be closer to the summer. But they had quite a few different works.
In Trinity County, we have our annual Trinity County Fair section this week. It is in the C section. On the front page, we have the City of Groveton reapproving a curfew for minors. The curfew is set at 11 p.m. Sunday through Thursday and at 1 a.m. Friday and Saturday and is in effect until 5:30 a.m. each day. And speaking of minors, three Trinity County athletes will be competing in the state track meet in a couple of weeks. Apple Springs athletes Cody Baird and Ethan Hollis each qualified in the Class 1A boys high jump. Hollis finished first in the Region 4 1A meet, while Baird finished right behind him in second place. And Trinity junior Justin Stanley won the boys 110-meter hurdles at the Region 3 Class 3A meet in Waco last weekend, and he will compete in the Class 3A meet. The boys track and field meet takes place May 10th through 11th in Austin. Centerville ISD approved its calendar for the 2019-2020 school year and is also considering entering its baseball team into UIL competition next season. Centerville played an outlaw schedule for baseball and had a 1-7 record this season with its lone win over the Comas Neal Junior Varsity team. Trinity County is also considering putting two fire hydrants in the city of Apple Springs. Apple Springs Volunteer Fire Chief Gary Matheson spoke to commissioners last week and is requesting to put two fire hydrants to help with fighting fires. Also, Groveton ISD has approved the purchase of two new buses and a new Suburban for the district. And Trinity ISD at its previous meeting recognized several students and faculty. The students who were recognized competed in UIL and state powerlifting competitions. And Trinity honored its professional, paraprofessional, and support member employees of the month.